And what's up, guys? Thank you so much for tuning in to the Pause, Rewind, Play podcast. My name is Casey. I'm one of the amigos here tonight. And we got the whole crew here and a special friend of the podcast. So we're going to start with Josh. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent, Casey. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. A little tired, but good.
Very nice. You're looking very falled out. I'm looking like it's summer or something. But
I didn't even put on a beanie today, and I felt naked most of the day. I'm like, I got flannel, but no beanie.
You got to get that beanie out. It's still a little warm, so you... By the end of this weekend, though, you'll be busting out that beanie.
Oh, I will be.
Real quick, introduce me.
Hi, Vince.
Hi. Check out this symmetry we got going on. Orange drinks on the ends, kind of a light shirt going on. Like, move your Cinnamon Toast Crunch over here, and like it's almost perfectly balanced as all things should be.
Thank you, Thanos. Oh, my gosh. So Vince is over here looking for the snap of symmetry, and that's what we're going for.
Worked out really well, unplanned.
Vince, you doing good?
Yep, doing good. Good. Excited to have a Halloween right around the corner. This has been a fun season.
Yes, it has. There's been a lot of good out there, and also the weather's been weird, so I haven't fully felt like we're in Halloween season, but also it's coming. But also, hi, Michael.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're so good. Doing are you great. Good? We're good. I think we're good. Yeah. It's been a while since you've been on the podcast.
I know. And we were just talking about that. Feels like 6 months and 6 days. I can't tell.
Well, Vince, go ahead and introduce the movie tonight.
No, Michael should introduce this
movie. Oh, yeah. Okay. We are talking about Rosemary's Baby. This is my absolute favorite movie, period.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you guys both seen this one before? Or is this your first time through for the TV?
First time.
I was a Rosemary's Baby virgin.
Yay!
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I love it.
This is my second time. I've seen it before. I also read the book. I came across it at Savers one day. I was so excited. Just flipping through those books, you know, kind of the used stuff. And it's I don't think it's a first edition or anything, but it's from the 60s hardcover Rosemary's Baby book. When I found it, I actually thought to myself, this is like a year and a half ago or something, I actually thought I should give this to Michael for like Christmas or his birthday, but then I wanted it.
That's understandable. But thanks for thinking of me.
I did. I really did. I was this close to being a good person.
I love it. So Michael, I think I wasn't really paying attention to the text thread. I'm so sorry. Like, this came up. Were you the one who recommended we do this to Vincent?
Yeah. So Vince asked, what movies would you like to do? I gave him a list, and he was like, "Dude, Rosemary's Baby," because that was right on top anyway.
I'm happy you're on this because I'm finally getting around to the Chucky series. Yeah. So I've been a couple of years ago.
I've been seeing on Letterboxd.
I did a couple's costume, right? And I thought that was the year I'm going to watch all the Chucky's. We watched one and two and never got around to the rest of them. So this year I went through a haunted house at Universal Horror Nights, and it was a Chucky haunted house. And I was like, I got to watch these Chucky movies. Like, this is too much fun. I got to actually commit and watch the series. So I've watched Chucky 3, Bride of Chucky, and Seed of Chucky this week.
It's going to get better.
No, let me talk for a second. Okay. Chucky 3 was kind of a letdown. I was like, they've done this three times now. This is nothing unique, has nothing new to say. Bride of Chucky was surprisingly fun. I had no idea what this franchise had turned into. You say it gets better. Seed of Chucky was a low.
Well, that's okay. Bride tanked. Is so high and Seed was so low.
Yeah, it was like good, kind of. Gets worse. Bride of Chucky tanked really low. And then I'm hoping with the next ones it comes back up. But I love that they're leaning into this B comedy horror instead of trying to be a slasher. Like, Bride of Chucky, I had no idea what they were going to do with this. Like, it was something... I've seen scenes from Seed of Chucky, and I knew kind of what that was. But Bride of Chucky was just something completely new to me, and I thought it was very inventive. It changed the entire franchise. It was funny. It had some good kills. I loved the actors and how they, worked together. And it essentially is just kind of a road trip movie where they just kind of bicker with each other and then kill people and then bicker some more and then kill people. I was and they're dolls. I was just like, this is great. I'm loving this. This is so funny. And I love the progression of the Chucky doll getting better and better over the years. Like, the original Chucky good guy doll, pretty good. Chucky 2, getting better. Chucky 3, even better. Bride of Chucky, it's looking great. It's got, the cool, staples and stuff. Like, the technology just keeps getting better and better. And I'm really excited to get to Cult and whatever the other one is.
So Curse, Cult.
Curse and Cult.
And then season 1, 2, and 3.
And that's one of the things that really piqued my interest is I saw the ratings that that TV show is getting. And I was like, this is the year. Yes. It's happening.
I'm so happy.
I'm doing it.
I'm like halfway through the series, the franchise at this point, and I'm having a good time.
I'm so happy.
No Josh, minute. What you been watching lately?
Most of my time was, I felt bad because I kind of committed to, I was like, I'm going to watch a movie every day in October, like a spooky movie or close to every day or something. And I was getting it to where it would least average out. On some days I would watch two where I hadn't another day. And then there was just a break of 10 days where I had just kind of hit my movie limit already between spooky movie September and then October. But also at the same time, it was me watching and finishing Fall of the House of Usher, which was, yes, I got all the way through it. It was very good. It got better kind of like as it went. Like Fall of the House of Usher, I guess, in a non-spoiler way.
I was like, what is this? I don't know what this is.
Oh, Fall of the House of Usher is... Oh, it's Mike Flanagan's new series.
Oh, cool.
So, sorry. Just, yeah. There you go. So, Fall of the House of Usher is the new one. It just came out this year, a few weeks ago.
I thought it was like a documentary because like Usher did some R. Kelly thing.
You're just okay. No, yes. Okay. No, but it's really cool to see because he has so many of the same actors and actresses that he has in his past stuff and Midnight Mass and Haunting of Hill House and Bly Manor and all of that stuff. And it was very cool. It did get to a point where it felt like really spooky. It felt almost predictable sometimes, but it still did things in a very new and different way. And by the time we got to the end, I was like, yes, like this is another overarching drama horror series that I really liked. I did kind of like feel that the horror bit was lacking a little bit. Like, you know, he'll do a few jump scares and he'll have kind of haunting elements. I thought it was a lot more prevalent in Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor, even Midnight Mass, where this one was a lot more drama focused, which I don't mind because that's kind of what makes the shows good in the first place. But since it was a spooky season, I was like, come on, more.
Give
like
my scares.
Scare me more. But it was definitely good. And by the time I got to the end, it was one that I would 100% recommend because I talked about it last time. I don't remember if we, I didn't go too far into it, but it's basically like there's some stuff that I was like, oh, like this is okay. It's just being like really. Oh,
I've had really multiple conversations with people at this point now where they're just like, episode two lost me.
Well, yeah, well, because it's really tough. Episode two gets kind of like sexually explicit with a lot of stuff, not like just like people's kinks and
orgy
stuff like that. That is well.
Sorry, we don't kink shame on this podcast.
It's a Sunny reference. What's okay. The password?
I was like, wait a second. I don't know if I should say that last line I just said. I was like,
but if you push through episode two, just I think it's 100% worth it.
I mean, I'm going to stop at episode two. now I want to watch it.
They're like, hey, now I've been doing it.
It's time.
So mostly just that. And then besides today's movie, I rewatched the original Paranormal Activity.
Ooh.
And just like last time where I talked about The Conjuring, where it was like The Conjuring came out and it was amazing. And then a whole horror franchise came from it. And just they're good, but just nothing as good as the original Conjuring. What's the point? Are you upset at me?
No, but I have a lot to say about, are you saying Paranormal Activity like gets decreasingly worse?
Not decreasingly worse, but I think Paranormal Activity is the best one of all of the movies that come out, including Paranormal Entity.
Can we zoom in on Michael's face for this moment, actually? Like, I've been watching some television series lately. I finally got around to watching The White Lotus.
Yes!
So I'm all caught up on those. Here. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm only a few years late. Yeah, we've watched all of season one, all of season two, right? There's not season three yet.
Not yet.
Okay. I was like Italy and HBO show. Wherever else. And then my wife and I have been watched The Changeling, which is on Apple TV.
With Lakeith Stanfield.
With Lakeith Stanfield. It's based off a book.
The old one, or is the one that Angelina Jolie?
No. This is like a TV series. It's based off a book, actually. We started listening to the book. Allie actually started watching it and then came back and rewatched it with me, and it was super cool. I liked it. There's some good elements of mystery in it, and I really liked it. And it's also a little thrilling at times, so I think it's good. I rewatched Halloween, the final movies.
The whole trilogy?
Yeah. Halloween Kills, you know, the last one, all this type of stuff.
He said the trilogy. Halloween 2018? Are we in Halloween
2018? There is no trilogy. There is only Halloween 2018.
Okay, okay, okay. So, yeah, I would like to go back and change my ratings of these movies because I think that I was like, oh, yeah, the third one's great. Nah. Like, the first one, the OG one where they bring it back and kind of, like, tie everything together, that's the movie. Like, I don't even care about the other ones. They're kind of like a fart in the wind. Like, it kind of exists, but not really, you know, because I'm just a bunch of air.
Casey, but evil dies tonight.
Evil dies whenever they decide. They're probably going to do more of those, though.
Oh, yeah, it's a franchise. It'll never die.
It'll never die.
It just got sold, right? We talked about that on it's a TV Vince show. And I's
they're,
last
they're time. Sorry, I meant to listen to that one, and I haven't listened to it.
It's okay. Sold? Like how we talked about was how the Halloween franchise got sold to Miramax or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We think so. They're doing more TV, all that stuff.
Rosemary's Baby.
The made-for-TV series, right?
I'm going to flip the table.
Apparently that was a thing. I had no idea that happened. Was Zoe Saldana? That was a real thing. That's that they tried to remake it in like the 2000s.
And there was a real sequel in the 70s. It was a TV movie too.
Was it Rosemary's Teenager?
It was called Look What Happened to Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
Oh. So yes. See? Learn new things all the time.
More or less.
And it was bad? Yeah. Because I'm actually like interested. Because that sounds interesting in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know what? I've seen it and I don't remember it. I don't know what that means. I don't know if I have a bad memory or if it's bad, but I don't think it was good. TV movie in the 70s doesn't scream great.
That is true.
But I mean, have you guys seen the original It?
Yeah.
I don't remember it. No, I don't remember it. That's why I said
on that one,
like,
too.
It's fine. It's fine.
I was like, do you remember that?
There's a lot of people nostalgic for it, but it was fine.
I think Tim Curry is the best part of that whole movie, but I don't remember his real performance, and I remember having weird graphics. Anyways, let's move on to the actual movie. Again, for the third time. Vince, do you have the
Rosemary's
dates on this
Baby,
film?
Rosemary's Baby. Released June 12th, 1968, directed by Roman Polanski, starring Mia Farris as Rosemary, John Cassavetes as Guy, Ruth Gordon as Minnie, Sidney Blackmer as Roman Cassavetes, and Maurice Evans as Hutch. Letterboxd gives it a 4.2 out of 5. Had multiple Oscar nominations. Won Best Supporting Actress with Ruth Gordon, who played Minnie. No nod to Mia Farris, which I guess a lot of people on the internet were pretty disappointed in. And also nominated for Best Writing and Best Screenplay. Is there still a Best Writing?
I think it's adapted screenplay now.
That's what they changed it to? Because I saw that, I was like, that doesn't sound
They just have the two screenplays.
Yeah.
Roman Polanski, kind of an interesting dude in general, I think.
I was going to say, on top, can I say?
Yeah.
Up top, first off, I'll say it for me, but you guys probably agree. Separating the art from the artist. Mm. This guy, pretty much a monster.
He's a monster.
So that's collectively saying that, like, not supporting what he is and who he is and what he does, the movie's great, and that's what I'll stay on.
So that's actually where I was going. I was just going to be like, this is one of those things, like, Roman Polanski, kind of a dirty dude. I hadn't actually thought about Roman Polanski until we watched and talked about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And then I did a bunch of research on him, and I was like, whoa, dude, not cool. So, interesting stuff. Separate the art from the artist, right? But, yeah, crazy kind of how this all comes together and the work of it. And where this is such an old film, by the way, guys, I think we're opening game in spoiler territory. So if any of you guys haven't watched Rosemary's Baby like Josh and I before this, go look it up. You can stream it in places. You can buy it for pretty inexpensively online. But we're going to talk about spoilers the whole entire movie because it's old. 1968. That was before the moon landing, so it's a long time ago.
Nice. Yeah.
So I want to know what you guys, being newcomers to the franchise, what did you know coming into it, and how did you feel about the twist, I guess you could call it?
There were definitely a couple of moments where that thought did come across my mind, where I was looking at this and I'm like, wait a second, like, are we maybe like, yeah, we've seen things from her perspective and maybe we've seen a couple of things that aren't actually there that she thinks she's seeing. And so that would be like a big twist of the movie where, like, hey, actually, like, she's just kind of crazy and all these people are just normal and they're just trying to help her. And it's that type of movie, which to be fair, I could have seen it going that way, and I still think it probably would have been pretty good. But I do like the direction it ended up taking. Coming into this movie, I knew nothing other than it's like a classic, like, horror film from the 60s. Like, I had heard about Rosemary's Baby and knew that it was one of those movies that is kind of like a must watch, at least at some point in your life. But then besides that, absolutely nothing. I probably assumed there was some chick named Rosemary and there was a baby. Like, that's what I was ready for. And so it all started, and there were those scenes of them getting the apartment and all of that stuff. And then obviously very early on, you're just looking at all those naked people chanting in a circle, and you're just like, well, all right, we're into this. I see. So
we're here. Yeah, we've arrived.
What about you, Case?
I did the same thing I did in Mother. I figured that out. I knew nothing about this movie. Just so you guys know, I've never watched it. I was actually told not to watch this as a child and a teenager and like whatnot, based off of my upbringing, and kind of like told to, like, similar with this in The Exorcist, right? Like, oh, don't watch these because of things. And so I just never had. And it's not that I wasn't interested, just like it never came around, like, type thing, you know? And weirdly enough, you kind of get going in this thing, and I'm kind of like, this woman is being gaslit the whole entire time, was what I felt like. I was just like, maybe I was just in like a stage today where I'm like, this movie is just all about gaslighting. And like, I was like, there's something weird because like I guess we're in spoiler territory where the husband's like not getting roles, not talking about things. And like all of a sudden he's getting all his business. Like straight up, like he is like some traded something. I couldn't call necessarily that it was a baby, but he's like traded something for fame and success. I was like, he's done a deal with the devil or with Satanists, like whatever. And I'm just watching. I'm like, oh yeah. This is good. I enjoyed it because of that. But like, I called Mother like really early on in the film when Josh and I and our spouses watched it. And I kind of called this one as well. I was like, oh yeah, this has got to be some sort of like, these people are like, cause they got too weird, too strange, too whatever. And then also the little talisman thing was the big call piece for me actually. Cause that person living with them, like what was the trade for her and blah, blah, blah. Like my mind goes like this. Thanks ADHD. But yeah, that's what happened.
There were kind of like two twists, I guess, for me, where I thought I kind of had figured out what's going on, and then the movie kind of shifts in a way I wasn't expecting. The first one was when we're kind of going through and she's expecting all of this is happening, and then she finds out that Guy is in on it. And I guess I probably should have seen it with all his fame and success that happened. That part I didn't see, especially because at first when she was like, hey, we're going to go have dinner with these people, she was like, oh, or he was like, oh man, like, do we really have to do that
people,
or whatever?
Yeah.
And then he was like, actually, they're really cool. I want to, you know, keep hanging out with them. I should have seen then, but I had no clue. Yeah. And then when you get to the whole, oh, they have to have something of his, she calls the guy who went blind, all of that stuff. I was like, oh, this is crazy. And then near the end, I thought I had it figured out. Yeah, they were all in some like weird little cult type thing, or they were witches or whatever. And then when it has the big reveal of, oh, it's like actually literally freaking Satan's child.
Yeah.
That has come out of your womb. I was like, oh, I thought there was just some crazy like freaking people. They're some really, really crazy people. Yeah. But in that way. So,
and the little ritual sex scene down there below there, where he's like, putting his like little Satan hands all over, and then wakes up in the morning. She's like, yeah. Sorry. Like, yeah. I was like, do I dare just go that far? That's like, it is what it is.
And it's long. Way longer than it needs to be. But,
yeah.
I mean, not needs to be. It's great for the movie, but like, Keep going.
Well, that was the thing that was like, I was just like, oh yeah, shrimp my nail. Sorry. You know, I'm like, and he talks about the necrophilia piece. I'm like,
yeah, no, that's a rough scene to watch. And she, the disgust on her face. But he just plays it off like, sorry, I didn't want to wait. And she's like, we could have. Why? What happened? And she's like emptied out for the next like three scenes. She's just like walking around like a zombie.
Well, and that's so I thought about this. I was like, what? Like, pardon my French, but like, what the heck? I edited it. Sorry.
Pardon my French.
Well, I was like, wait a second. Vince, actually, just really randomly, quick, I saw your mom at that pickin' whatever thing that you told me about, the clothes place.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, oh, I listen to your podcast. It's like, we're hanging out. And I was like, I have to be better. Vince's mom. So that's why I said, pardon my French. Yeah. I love Vince's mom. She's great. But no, like, the whole thing is, I'm just like sitting here, like, oh, brutal. Like, that was my whole thought. Like, it was just, it wasn't like I was like, oh, like trying to get on with the story. I was just like, it kind of like shows the actual soul sucking part of the aftermath of this, which I think is pretty mavericky for this era of film too. It's kind of like that wasn't that it was like that they're letting this be expressed and stuff like that, because like historically so much of it was just like spousal rape was super common, like, and super normal for people. So like this type of scene, even though like it took me a minute to figure out that like, oh, this actually is, I thought he was dressed up in a costume at first, like kind of like he was like in a gorilla suit at first, and then like once you figure it out later, you're like, oh,
that's the devil.
That's Satan. But it's kind of like, that's so dirty. So sorry, I had to bring that part up, but it was like kind of like the soul suck part of it, the destructive.
It's the cornerstone of like the whole movie. It's rough. It's like played out as a dream, and yeah, it lasts long, and she only ate half of the drugs because she had poured out the drugs that you find out eventually that the neighbor is bringing this drink that's supposed to help the baby grow, but the neighbor refers the doctor, and the doctor is like, don't read any books. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy. Also, I had a thought, speaking of ADHD, this is four white dudes talking about gaslighting.
No, we're not. That's not what's going on here.
Yeah, gaslighting's fake. You made it up.
Four white dudes talking about gaslighting.
Man. Yeah, no, but it's like 101. That's like the whole movie. And I think that's why this movie's, and like I said, four white dudes talking about gaslighting, probably not the best perspective, but we're going to try. It still holds up because this is still terrifying. Like, yeah. People, all people, but specifically women in relationships, are just like, stop. Like the way that it's played out, like, man, this movie is just so rough to watch a second time. Because when you know and you rewatch, that's when it's like, oh my God, everybody's doing it. Everybody's telling her, like, no, you're wrong. That's not wrong. Don't listen to your body. Don't listen to your friends. Don't read books. And I think the second watch is scarier.
That's why I brought it up, is because, like, I was watching this. I read a thing online that Roman Polanski didn't want anything supernatural to happen in this movie, which doesn't. Like, there's not a single supernatural thing that happens until, like, well, other than the devil shows up. But other than that, everything, there's no, like, weird things falling off the walls. There's no, like, jump scares. Everything is very kind of mundane. Mm-hmm. And on the second watch, because this is my second time watching it, I was watching the whole thing thinking, oh, and the reason that he wanted it that way is because he wanted people to question whether or not what was happening to her was real or not. So I was watching that with that mindset, and I was like sitting there thinking, like, a modern version of this movie would be like Shutter Island, where you watch it, and then you get that twist at the end, or any M. Night Shyamalan movie, you know, and it shows this twist. And you're like, oh, the whole time, you know? And then you go back and rewatch those movies and you see the clues that were very vague, you know, and you're like, oh, okay, so that was there the whole time. This one's not very vague at all. Mm-hmm. This one, it just shows her, like you said, getting pushed around, being manipulated, being told she's stupid, getting drugged, you know, and it's just like, I sat through the first hour and a half of the movie thinking, how could anyone be fooled by this not being real? Like, every time Guy left the room, he had some excuse to go over to the Cassavetes. Oh, I'm going to go get ice cream. I'm going to go do this. It's like, knowing what happens in the end, it's like, this is obviously happening. Mm-hmm. Until it gets to the end of the movie, after she has the baby, where she wakes up from this dream and everybody's coming in and starting telling her, like, rationalizing everything that happened. Like, I can't believe you thought it was me. I understand you being hit, you know, getting fooled by those two old people. They seem kind of weird, you know, but, you know, I'm your husband. How could you not believe me? You just had a little bit of the, like, pregnancy crazies, you know, starts justifying everything.
Prepartum.
Yeah, and that's the point where I was just like, oh, this is where he gets you with the twist, where it's like, look how obvious. You're seeing it from her perspective, so everything is just, like, so, so obviously, these are witches manipulating me, taking advantage of me. And then you start seeing it from the other end for that last, like, 20 minutes before she actually finds the baby, where it's just like, oh, I could see, being my first time through, getting to this part and being like, oh, the twist was that normally the twist is, you understand what I'm saying? Like, normally the twist is kind of the opposite, where it's just like, you know, you're being duped into thinking things are regularly happening. But it is kind of the opposite in this one. Like, they're presenting it as if it happened. And at the end, the twist is none of it happened. It's all in her head.
Mm-hmm. I've watched this movie more than I've watched any other movie. I don't know what that says about me.
What does it say about
you
from your perspective?
I don't know, man.
It's a good movie. Does it affect you differently now that you're a father, by the way? At all? Going through that whole experience?
Yeah, I don't know if it hits me any different. I think at the end of the movie, I never felt weird about the end of the movie, but specific. This is the first time I have, well, third time I've watched it since we've had our son. I watch a lot. Yeah, I don't know what really does that. Okay, the ending, she decides to stay, and that is like, oh, yeah, totally. That makes sense. It's like, you would stay. Like, right. Yeah, like, you're not going to leave. But that scene prior to that where you think that it's in her head, like I said, I've watched this movie more times than I think I've watched any other movie. I was like, is she crazy? Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. It gets you there. Yeah, yeah. I had a moment of like, wait, did I miss something?
Even after all the views?
I know, and I even said it out loud to myself. I was like, I know the ending. Like, I know how it ends. I don't know why I feel this way. But it just really worked.
Yeah, it did. Really worked. That's exactly how I felt, too. I was like, oh, there's the twist right there. It's obvious. It's obvious. It's obvious. Wait, is it obvious? Oh, yeah, it's obvious.
You had to rethink about the whole movie you just watched. Like, hold on, how obvious was it? Yeah,
exactly.
Which is really fun.
Like, this is a masterclass in storytelling in my mind, to be honest with you. I'm like, how to tell and develop a story in a way that you're questioning that despite how many times you've seen this. Or you're like, wow, the visual aspects of this. Like, I could talk about so many parts of this movie, and I think it would be fascinating. We can continue talking about as much as we want. But, like, the story of this, the idea that you can create something that's just so fantastically developed that you're, like, thrown into this movie. And you said it's relevant, right? It still plays. But, like, that this was filmed in 1968. Like, the story is 1968. So much of it is still, like, damn, that's good. Like, that's, like, how I felt, like, the whole time. So I don't know if that's kind of anyone else's thought, but that was, for me, like, important.
There were a couple times that this movie was still funny as well. And I don't know if it was meant to be funny or if it was just me, like, relating to things in super ways. So I, like, gaslighting is obviously a super big theme in this movie. And gaslighting a lot of time happens to people who are really passive and stuff like that, right? Because other people will tell them things and they go, okay, I am super passive. And I'm not like saying like, oh, people gaslight me all the time. Just I'm super passive. So my Letterboxd review for this movie was the most relatable scene was when, I mean, not because of this, but just because of what she says, is when she gets drugged, tied down, put into that ritual, and was about to conceive a baby with Satan, and they were like, is the music too loud? And she's like, oh, well, don't change it on my account. Like, don't change the program because of me. Like, she's literally in the middle of this ritual, and she's like, oh, don't worry. Like, it's fine if you think it's fine. Like, I laughed out loud. Like, it's the middle of this crazy scene, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Like, that was absolutely hilarious.
Speaking of the scene really quickly, sorry, I know I was like, oh, let's move forward. No, but like
big part.
This felt so much like watching Midsommar in a way. Like that sex scene, like everyone's nude and then the butt pushing and just everything you're kind of like, is this a clone? Like is Midsommar, like, are they stealing from this?
And someone got inspired,
and Hereditary. Everyone's like the dark room of naked people, like, when they're just standing in the dark naked. Like,
and those
are
both Ari Aster films, by the way, so that's funny.
Well, and so you probably think that he probably took a lot of stuff from that, because I also feel like the very end kind of had Hereditary tones when everyone's saying Hail Satan and all that stuff. Oh. It reminded me of the end of Hereditary. Yeah. So obviously, looking at that, I wouldn't doubt if Ari Aster, if people had talked to him, there's probably already interviews out there that he said that he probably has a lot of inspiration from this movie.
You could... almost, okay, maybe not. I was going to say you could read Hereditary as like a retelling of Rosemary's Baby, but that's not true. Maybe Pet Sematary. Pet Sematary, 1989, and Hereditary might be the same movie. Just think about that. I don't know, it's a whole nother podcast.
the theory podcast.
Yeah, but...
we'll put the strings up.
That scene is wild. The crux of the whole movie where everything changes, like from the guy being... at the beginning of the movie, they're happy. They're in the empty apartment. They're having fun. Like, let's make love. Like, he's joking about the old people. And and all of a sudden, and I, with the rewatch of this time, I watched his face. At Rosemary goes back to her apartment, comes back when they're alone, and Guy's talking to Roman, and his face, he looks sick. Like Roman had just said, like, I can I can help your career if you can, you know, do this thing and this is what we're a part of. Like, I really, really paid attention this time, and that was something I noticed. And after that, he, like, doesn't look at her, and, like, she even complained to a friend and, like, about he's being rude. And, yeah, it's all this crux, but it all kind of, like, stems from that.
So it's really interesting with you guys having watched this before, Vince, right? This is your second time through, and, like, for you, I'm still, like, Josh just was like, oh, I'm, like, kind of, like, piecing some of these things together that I'm, like, I'll be honest with you. I was kind of like, I don't know that I really want to go rewatch this very soon, but at the same time, I'm kind of, like, do I now, though? Like, as you guys have talked about this thing, I'm like, do I want to go rewatch some of it? I don't know.
There's a lot.
My O was like, kind of, when he was, yeah, he's got the notes. My O was kind of, you said that, and I said, okay, that makes sense, because I was wondering if that was the case, if he introduced it to him then, or if it was, like, that's why they moved here originally, and I didn't know that. And so that makes a lot more sense. Like, you say that he sees that, he gets all,
I don't know. It's tough to say, because the building specifically has a history, and right. They talk about that history where there's, like, suicides and deaths, and all of a sudden there's these sisters and this coven and this, and then within the book, or within the movie, Rosemary gets a book from her friend that dies because, this time I noticed that it was Guy. Like, because Guy took his glove and Rosemary has a baby. I am stuttery about this. I'm so excited about this movie that I can't even talk about it. So she gets this book from one of her friends because he had found out that they're the,
ancestors.
Yeah, Roman was the son of the leader of this cult or this coven, and he was trying to tell Rosemary. But inside the book, it says, like, you have to have a piece of an article that is owned by the person. Mm-hmm. And I noticed this time that Guy put his glove in his pocket when they're coming out of the closet.
It actually shows it. I didn't see it actually happen.
You can't see the glove, but you see him put his hand in his pocket.
No, interesting.
Yeah, which is wild. I don't even remember my point. I'm so excited we're talking about this movie. Yeah,
but that kind of stuff, that's what I was saying earlier. That kind of stuff is all over in the movie. And once you know what's going on, it's incredibly obvious, those things. They're not even shying away from it. Like, from the way that they look at each other to every single time that something comes in, like, across to Rosemary, you know, like, she wants to go out and see her friends. They're trying to put it down, mm-hmm. trying to make her not do it. She gets a letter in the mail, and all of a sudden, Minnie shows up at the door. She's like, what? Let me see your mail. Starts looking through it because she doesn't want the outside influences. The doctor's telling her not to talk to her friends because every pregnancy is different. You know, it's very painfully obvious after you've seen it the first time through. So it is worth seeing it again.
Yeah, I understand the gap because this is a heavy movie.
Yeah, I'm a new parent too, so I'm still kind of like.
Another good way to experience it would to be just reading the book. It's the most accurate book to film adaptation that I've ever seen in my life. It like does everything almost to a T that you do in the book itself.
Well, I didn't even know how to read, so but like that would be terrifying. I think that would be terrifying when you say this, like, best book, like, film to, from...
Well, most accurate, I should say. Like, they take scene for scene, like, a lot of this exact same stuff. Like, beat for beat is in this movie.
And there's actually scenes in the movie that are from the book that they didn't have time to film. There's a scene where Guy... is when they're sending the older people off to their trip, their fake trip that they're lying about. He's holding a radio that was gifted to him at the party before, but the party never was filmed in the book. But
that happened in that
they one. Gave him the radio to hold as they was.
Well, that would make sense because one of the facts that I found was the original cut ran over 4 hours long. So apparently there is a lot of stuff that from the book that he filmed that had to be cut out because 2 hours of this movie was taken out. It said that Roman Polanski couldn't decide what to cut, so he let the editor Sam Osteen decide. Sam would later direct a sequel, Look What's Happened to Rosemary's Baby. But yeah, even Roman Polanski was just like, I'm going to make this book into a movie, and I don't know how to shorten it, so someone so else cool. do it.
I noticed this time specifically that unlike a lot of horror movies, and maybe because it was so old, I think she makes all the right choices every single turn. Like, at every chance, she's trying to get away. She's like, no, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel right. I'm going to go to another doctor. I want to read a book. I'm going to take pills. I'm going to listen to my friends. I'm going to do this. Even at the end, which I stood up and like kind of cheered this time for it. But when he was like, they said you would never, you wouldn't be hurt and you weren't hurt. And she spits in his face.
That was awesome.
Oh my gosh. That was the best. I'd like, yeah, it was perfect. And even at the end, like we were talking about, like she made the choice to stay because she is his mother. And that's a personal choice. And
that's why I wanted to know, is you guys as parents, does that like make more, and you kind of answered the question, that makes more sense to you that yeah, she would do it. But I'm not a parent. And this is the literal son of the devil.
Do you think you have bad kids growing up?
Like, talk to Rosemary. Did she make the right choice there? I mean, I get it. That's her kid. But, like, this is the son of the devil.
One, like, Satan's going to Satan, right? Like, that's what's going to happen. And two, have you watched the Good Omens series on Amazon Prime? So, Good Omens series, it kind of, like, highlights this. There is a child who is the son of the devil. And, you know, blah, 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 kind of talking about it. And it's like the kind of the story is that like there's this family that's preparing, that's aware that he's the devil, but the babies get switched. And so the son of the devil is raised by a family who's unaware of who exactly he is. And like, as he gains these powers, like it's different than you'd expect.
So you're telling me that maybe with the mom in the picture,
the influence of Rosemary, he might not become the worst.
That's a good argument right there.
The killer of killers. And Rosemary, in my mind, like, and Michael, you kind of nailed it on the head right there. Knows how to like make the right decisions, try and influence it, try to do it. She's not like, oh gosh, I'm in a horror film. I'm going to lay in this sketchy barn under all these knives. Like, what could happen? Like, that's not what's going on. This. So I think, like, without watching what happened to Rosemary's Baby, I think that maybe there's a better influence with her staying versus what could happen if she leaves. Okay. And plus, she probably has this trauma bond. And motherhood is vastly different than fatherhood. I will say that like openly, because like, my connection with my child is different than my wife's connection with our child. And so I don't know what the influence of mother is. Very valuable, but I think the connection there is probably vastly different.
Yeah, than that's what I have that to say. That's what I have to understand, is this isn't my child. I don't know what I would do if it was my child, you know, from what I think would be right or wrong. I would say get rid of the son of the devil. But if it was my child, would that change everything to me? And that's why I can kind of understand why she does it. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know if this is the right choice. Maybe put it. It's like, you know, if you had the opportunity to kill, you know, the classic argument, if you had the opportunity to kill Hitler as a baby, would you do it? He hasn't done anything wrong yet. So are you in the wrong by pre-killing? It's like freaking Minority Report. Well,
I was low-key thinking there at the end when she has the knife. Oh, I was like, oh, bro, is she going to just ruin these people's day? And like, that's how the movie ends? Like, you thought. You had the son of the devil. Well,
that would have been
again
a wild ending. Like, and that was on top of a wild ending. Also, I mean, the devil, you give the devil kind of a bad rap. But all he did was try to give knowledge to
Eve. All he did was rape her.
I'm just, no, well, that on the end there, yeah. But I'm just saying, just collectively, I don't know, he might not be that bad.
I don't know. What did the witches all say? That he was going to come and topple society? I can't remember. There's a whole quote they were saying, like, hell, Satan, who will come to take over the world or something.
I mean,
this
Satan
just
doesn't sound
like a great guy to me.
Yeah. Satan is in this movie. Freaking all of these gaslighters are in this movie. And the one I was most annoyed about was that one lady who's like rocking the glasses.
Yeah.
Not because of that scene particularly, but every time she was there, I was just like, dang, I don't like
this.
She
became way more aggressive after that Rosemary found out that she was the mom.
Speaking of, I guess, the final scene, because there's so much that ends up going down in that final scene where she has the knife, where they look at it. Number one, just that, the production design of that cradle itself in that room is crazy, because that room just feels so business-like, right? Like 60s, 70s, this is like where the CEO lives, the leather chairs, people walking around. I think there's like bookcases and whatever. And then in the middle of it, just this black draped cradle with the upside down cross with those like satin like sheets and all of that stuff. It was just so jarring compared to the rest of it that really helped. I mean, it's not like you didn't know at that point that it was the devil's son, but I'm sorry, I'll stop talking about it.
Yeah, Mac is very sensitive to this kind of stuff.
When see, he doesn't like us talking about it, but it's jarring, and I loved it.
Yeah, that is awesome. Cool. I like that you pointed that out, because it is. It's like such a different vibe, but it was really fun on this watch. I noticed all of the, when she went back into the apartment, all the photos or all the paintings that she had noticed on her first visit in.
That were off the thing.
She was like, they're moving their pictures. Yeah, they were all back up, and they were all depictions of like the world crumbling and Satan and people praying. And it was really cool to watch.
Another cool touch is Rosemary's apartment is all very light, white walls, well lit, really pretty. And then when they go through the hidden freaking closet, which what a cool like foreshadowing when they first go into the apartment. They're like, what the heck is this cabinet doing in front of the closet door? This doesn't make any sense. Like, awesome foreshadowing there. And then walking through to like the bright, happy apartment to the dark,
yeah, that's
evil,
a really good point,
dungeon of this next door neighbor
and the
Satan's baby.
Yeah, the scene right before, I don't know when it was, but the moment towards the end where she's, I think, on the phone, but you see the people come in, like run behind her in the door. It's close to the end. I don't know. It's
one in the phone booth or
no, it was right after that. It was like after they pick her up from the doctor's office, which was wild. That guy just straight sold her out.
Right. When she locks them out and she's trying to call.
Right. And they like run.
Yeah. They do like the little jot, like as she looks away.
And that's how they get in, is that secret door.
Oh,
yeah. She locked the door behind her again, making all the right decisions. Like she just, there's a lot of things that she didn't know that worked in not her favor, like against her, I guess.
Yeah. You're right. She really did, like, the whole way. She made the right decision. She made the right calls. Because every turn, I was like, yes, this. Like, eventually when she got to, this was the part I was going to mention earlier. I was so almost relieved where she was getting out. She was doing what she wanted to do. And she went and she demanded. And she's like, I want to see Dr. Hill and do this. And she got there. And I was like, yes, she's free.
I love the moment where she demanded that she's going to go to she's going to throw a party and everybody had to be under 60. Yeah. I was like, there you go. Like, stop hanging out with these freaking weird old people and go mingle with people your own age.
Didn't we have a conversation last week about how we're friends with old people?
No, we're going to throw a party and nobody above 60 is invited. Note out of Rosemary's book.
I mean, that's true, because to be fair, I am friends with people who are older, but it was kind of weird seeing them be at the like New Year's Eve party and she's there with all of the 70-year-old people who are like,
which happened to be in the coven. That's the whole coven there.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
You start noticing like that. That was pretty funny. Like, there's a rumor.
67, and they were like, we were here when 1900 came. And you're just like, okay. Oh.
So, the date that the baby was born, did you guys catch that?
June 6th, 1966. It's my mother's birthday.
Exactly.
She was 60.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah. Still, though, that makes
That
would mean you write 666.
Your mom is the daughter of the devil?
Yeah.
Michael turned out fine, okay? So
we know.
So it was because of Rosemary.
No wonder he likes this movie so much.
Yeah. It was just on repeat at home all the time.
This is the story of your life, Michael.
Yeah.
The devil spawn. JK. Michael, what was your favorite like scene from this in general? If you were to look back on this and say, like, this is my favorite because...
Oh, man.
I'm asking a lot of you, I know.
No, that's fine. The phone booth scene. The phone booth scene encapsulates like the entire movie. It like builds dread the whole time. Fun fact, one shot. The end when she's like, towards the end when that guy steps in, like in the shot, and you're just like, oh no, it's there.
Him.
They're gonna get her, and it ends up not being. And oh my gosh, yeah, like it put me on edge even this time. Yeah, it was wild.
I had to pause because Jaleesa had come home mid me watching this movie. And when that guy showed up, I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And she was like, what? And so I paused and I explained. I was like, oh, she's trying to get away from this doctor. She left his office, all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. But now he's there outside the phone booth. And I pressed play. And then 10 seconds later, I had to be like, oh, just kidding. It's like, they got me. Like, I totally thought, because like, his hair there in the back, I was like, it's him. We're screwed. We're done for.
That was wild. And like, also the things that you don't have to think about anymore are fun with, like, someone wants to come and just like, hold the phone down and like say, like, can you please call this number back? Because if I leave, then I won't know. That was wild and stressful as well. Yeah.
So stressful. And she's like trying so hard that it made it. I think this is another one of the moments where I ended up laughing because she's there like, oh my gosh, what did he say? I loved the thing that he said. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. What he said was so good.
Oh, man. I'm going to be the real classic person and actually go back to the foreshadowing scene with the realtor guy who's like showing the apartment. And I know this is really silly because the rest of the movie is so good. But I just like how he's like, they're like, oh, can we move this? Like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm assigned to show the apartment. Like, we're going to do what I want. And it's just like, why would you put a vacuum in her linens up there? Why would you block them? And I was like, what? Okay. Sorry. I know that that's like the cheesiest scene of all. Like, and I know it's like right at the beginning of the film, but I was like, nothing can top this moment. Like, literally. I thought about that scene. So like, obviously, like, so much of this is jarring. Like, we talked about, you know, the devil scene and the scratching and the, oh, my fingernails and like all that kind of stuff. But I'm like, who the hell highlights their vacuum and their laundry left in the cupboard? Like, that was it. Just that the realtor in that moment. That was good. That's what's going to stand out in my mind when I think Rosemary's Baby. Until a friend of mine, oh, there's a scene. And I thought it was a witch's broom, like in Hocus Pocus, which is, like, kind of funny, but also weird. I don't know.
Sorry.
That's the most energy I think I've had this whole movie. I'm sorry, guys. Like, what's your favorite scene? This
that,
weird one.
That milk's hitting you.
Oh, no.
It's hitting.
This freaking Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk? Yeah.
I mean, I definitely had a lot of favorite scenes. If I had to pick a favorite scene in particular, I'd probably pick the final scene, whole final sequence. There's so much, obviously, that comes to light, and it's done in a really cool way. And it's one of those movies where, I don't know, a lot of times when movies are good, obviously, I love watching them, but there are a lot of times as someone who was born not in the 2000s, but only 4 or 5 years away from it, where I'm so used to newer picture quality, newer all of these things, where sometimes I struggle going back to older movies just because, like, grainy picture quality and all of these different things, even when they're told well, I'm just like, oh, sometimes I don't want to watch them, which is, like, absolutely berate me because there are movies like this that are incredible.
I want to berate you so bad right now.
And that's
this.
The thing, right? Berate my young,
your youth,
my young person self. I don't have TikTok on my phone, so that's something going for me, right? A little bit.
These kids these days.
These kids.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting when you say this, though, is like one of the first horror films I ever watched was like The Thing. And then there's like another one
that's
called.
Another one we should do. Sorry.
Oh my like, gosh. The yes. Blob and like, yeah, the, like all those like kind of old grainier.
One.
Yeah. Huh?
The 80s one or the 50s
the
one?
The 50s one. Dude. Okay. Yeah. So my aunt who grew up or like earlier, like she was like, oh, we're going to watch this scary movie. And that was like one of the first ones I remember. But like when you're talking about this and the grainy picture quality and all this kind of stuff, like I was looking at it as like, oh, like, because like, right, this is my first time and I've already talked about it, like, oh, this is pretty good for the era. And that was, like, my only thought, like, not...
Well, because, like, why I mention that is because a lot of times things
I interjected
like
again,
that...
Sorry.
No, you're good. Will, like, take me out of it. Or there were even a couple of times in this where I did enjoy the acting, but there were a lot of times in this where I was like, oh, these are, like... Like, the acting technique was, like, very old, where you could kind of really feel the dialogue written out in the scene. I didn't feel a lot of it flowed very well. Other times it did, and it was great, especially in the action sequence as the movie moved along. It was more towards the beginning that I felt that. But that being said, we've already talked about how we felt this movie kind of felt like Hereditary, like Midsommar, like all of these different things. This is one of those movies, those horror movies, that just gives you that eerie, weird, cult, like awkward, crazy sensation at the end. And it gave that to me at the end where I was like, whoa, like this is kind of really, really trippy. And I like it, which is, again, so that's why I would probably say that the end was my favorite sequence in it. It stood out above the rest for me.
One, I'm sorry for interjecting. Two, I take back my berating of you. And,
you can.
I get what you're saying now because I interjected. However, I do want to highlight really quickly. You talked about kind of the feeling and the, and we've kind of talked about this throughout the thing. I love this, like, I don't know what you want to call it, like the saturation of the film, like how they colored it and they did it. Cause I don't think, I just feel like they're more authentic colors in a way, like, cause everything's too polished now in a way.
It was done with Technicolor, which is like Wizard of Oz was done with the first, it was the first one. So, like, and they use, it's like a three camera system where they use red, blue, and green to like overlap and put the color on it, which makes it feel super tangible, organic. I get what you're saying, that like feel of it, it like almost gives it a warmth. I don't know if that's exactly the right word to use for it, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but I want to, like, I just want to commend you for that good call out of the vibe there, like the feeling of like, oh, it could do it, even though you're talking about the thing that takes you out of it. It still eventually led you to the end goal, which was to give you fright and to maybe put you on edge.
I love that just the when she wakes up after having the baby and you start to question whether or not things are real. That's that whole sequence just like makes the entire first hour and a half of the movie worth watching to me, even though the rest of it's great. But I'm right there with you. Like, there's a charm to these old movies, and sometimes it is hard. I think it's mostly for me because of the pacing of some of these old movies can feel very, very slow. And that's how I felt too going into this one, was just like, I know I like this movie, but last night I was kind of like, I kind of want something that moves a little bit. I was like, I don't know if I'm really feeling it. But as soon as I got into it, it says something about a movie made well, you know, that even when the pace is something slow like this, there's that if it's telling a good story and it can suck you in, even the way that they act, the way that they talk, the way that it's filmed, you know, everything can just like, it can really suck you into to a storyline, to an experience. And this one just does it so, so well. Like, and like you said, Casey, in the first 10 minutes, that feeling of like, it's going to be a slow movie, I don't know if I'm into this, it was gone. 10 minutes into it, and before I knew it, I was an hour and a half in, you know.
I felt the same way, though, is what's weird, is I was kind of, I'll be honest with you, I was a little apprehensive to watch it because of the age, right? And like, I was like berating you for like, old movies. But like, sometimes old movies, like, you really have to, one, be in the mindset to like, okay, the dialogue's going to be different, the contextual cues, like, I'm going to have to like piece it together because I'm a little bit younger than these folks, right? Like, it's not for my time originally. But then as you go into it, and like, I think this goes back to like good storytelling, right? Like, where I'm just like, oh, I had the same realization as you did, Vince. I was like, oh, I'm way far into this movie, because I paused it to go to the restroom and I was like, oh, wow, like, what? Like, that was it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I sat down, finished it, and I was like, it's good. But that leads, I guess that begs to my final question of the night, is like, are old horror films like this, and old films that are category makers, you know, forward movements of the thing, not leading too much, like just different eras, are these still worth going back to for people who are younger, like Josh and younger, or, you know, people who haven't seen some of these like me? Like, what's the value in us going back and looking at them?
You know, art imitates art, right? So many of the good, amazing tropes, scenes, just feelings that we love about a lot of our favorite current horror movies, we've talked about a lot of them tonight, have come from past art, things that the current directors and people were inspired by previously. So even if they're not exact copies, there's a lot of things that came from these older films. And a lot of, this is what I always think about whenever I'm thinking about watching an older movie, is like, hey, like, people nowadays can a lot of times struggle to, you know, find unique ideas, things that they're able to make and that they're able to put forth in that way. And I think back about that, and yeah, there are stories that were taken, but when I think about when they're first making movies, I was like, they had the door wide open to them, right? Like, almost nothing, not almost nothing, but just except for, like, you know, a lot of the black and white, just those other earlier movies had come up 40, 50 years ago, since we're talking about this, 60 now because of this, oh my goodness. But like 60 years ago when this came out, there was like, so like, there were still so many doors open, so many stories that hadn't been told, and some of the most amazing stories have already been told. And so it's definitely worth going back to. Just like in 50 years from now, I'll, you know, be telling nephews or grandkids or whatever, just be like, oh, you guys got to go back and watch Get Out. Like, you got to go back and watch, you know, this or that. And they'll be like, oh, those are old movies. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. I'll be like, no, it's good. It has such an amazing story to tell. So I'd obviously say yes. It takes myself some convincing a lot of times.
All the movies you love now are built on the shoulders of all these old movies that had to come before all of the other ones. And sometimes it is hard to go back and watch because some things aren't relevant. But specifically, it seems like people that end up in horror or people that end up that are being are fans of horror end up being slightly more of film historians. I don't know why. It just is something specific about horror fans. They don't judge on age a lot. It's just like, cool. And maybe it comes back to like the primal feeling of fear. Like, comedy can change, and sure, things that scared people in the, you know, 60s don't scare us now, but there's something about someone creeping behind a doorway and being watched and being followed. All that will always be scary. And I think horror kind of transcends age with that. So,
if you had one movie, because we've talked about how it is something that, you know, we need to go back and watch and make sure that we still see and we appreciate the older versions of the horror films. I mean, you know me, I'm always about, you know, what's new, making sure there's new, unique stuff. We talked about how it is worth going back for it. If you had one movie that you'd consider an older horror movie that you think everyone should watch, even without a ton of explanation, just what would that one horror movie be that you think people should go back and watch? Horror, thriller, just... from back in the...
Are we blurting this out as quickly as we can?
Just go ahead.
Friday the 13th! Like, oh my gosh. Like, that one right there for me is like, it's like slasher paradise. Like, it's the start of like so much stuff. And growing up on like the scary movie era, release eras of time, like, and all the kind of stuff that makes fun of those things, like, that's a movie. Like, when people are like, oh, what's an old movie I should watch? For me, that's always been like, oh, Friday the 13th. So, sorry. Just got excited.
I just watched, I think it was last year, that I watched Psycho for the first time.
Man.
And just a game changer, right? Yeah. Absolutely incredible. It's one that I would say everyone should watch out. Wait. And I believe it's on Netflix.
That's
right
still
now.
Norman Bates one, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. Sorry. Man.
Yeah, well, Rosemary's Baby. But that's kind of on the nose. But the next one that like pops right in my head is The Omen. I love that one too. Also, like, yeah, all these movies that I always want to talk about when they're old, it's like this slow dread. So that's my jam. Yeah, I'd go with The Omen.
You got to throw in The Exorcist in there too. The original Exorcist movie. People still to this day claim it's the scariest movie ever made. And the stories behind the making of that movie are just as scary as the story, as the movie itself.
Good call. It's a good call. It's all around. Any last thoughts on Rosemary's Baby before we call an episode?
I'd just like to say thank you for recommending it, Michael, and for coming onto the podcast.
Yeah, like, thank you for always having me. I always feel like I'm stumbling over words or say something stupid, but you guys keep inviting me, so thank you.
Michael, as a friend of the podcast, we'll welcome your stumbling and your tripping and just that glorious mustache in general.
Hey.
And any recommendations that you have in general. So thank you so much. Vince, I'm glad that you guys kind of connected and did the thing, all of you guys. If that's it.
That's it.
Rosemary's Baby.
Thanks for checking out the Pause, Rewind, Play podcast. Have yourself a wonderful Halloween season, spooky season, as so many folks call it. And do yourself a solid and watch the film if you haven't, and go back and check it out again. And that's all for this time on the Pause, Rewind, Play podcast.